Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Saturdays podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing? Hey, go ahead and turn or navigate to Genesis chapter 26. This should be a really familiar passage for you guys. We've talked about this one before. I think it's been a couple of years. And so in Genesis chapter 26, verse 1, it says, "Now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine in Abraham's time." It's super clear there is a famine, right? There's a famine. And there was a previous famine. So they're aware of when a famine starts, what a famine's going to be like. And I looked up the definition of the word famine, and the first result that came up was a drastic, wide-reaching food shortage. Webster's defines it as extreme scarcity of food. Just to be clear, I'm not predicting a famine. Our goal today is to highlight that our future isn't determined by what's happening on the earth. God is our source. We operate from another kingdom. If I'm honest, that hasn't always been my experience. I've seen lots of people that love the Lord limited by their circumstances, and sometimes even taken out by their earthly circumstances. But we're going to look at the story about Isaac in more detail and talk about being a people filled with hope. And we're going to talk about some keys to seeing God move in our lives in amazing ways. But first, I want to remind you that in Genesis chapter 26, we're going to read a good portion of it in a moment, there's a wide-reaching food shortage. And I'm sure it affected Isaac, but it didn't affect his harvest. And you'll see in verse 12, Isaac planted crops in that land, and in the same year as what? The famine, he reaped 100-fold because the Lord had blessed him. And we had a similar experience in 2020. If there was a book written about us as a church, it could say there was a great pandemic in the land. And Matt called the landlord and said, "Hey, only 7 people are going to church. I don't know if I can make this rent. This rent's a little high." And the landlord was kind of mad about that. And then the Lord provided this awesome space in a great new place. By the way, we made all the rent over the pandemic. We didn't short anybody. Provided this great new space for us to meet in this great city that's going to become blessed, this great town that's going to become blessed because the Lord placed us here. It's also worth pointing out that 20 years ago, the people of Rock Community Church, who are our spiritual fathers and mothers, those people went before us in this body, they purchased a building just a few blocks from here, and they wanted to use that building to bless this community, and here we are, their spiritual children, 20 years later. They weren't able to use that building because they had some trouble with the borough. There was some building codes. And I do want to point out, this reminds me of another story. There's a story in Exodus. You guys know this one. Moses is leading the people of God into the promised land. And the first generation, they're on the journey. They get things going. They're on the journey. They're seeing the Lord move. But they couldn't move into the promised land. And then the next generation was able to. So I want to encourage you guys. I don't know what the Lord is up to, but he's up to something. He wants a thriving body of believers here to impact this community. It's also worth pointing out that it wasn't leadership's fault. With what happened in the past, you could try to assign blame to any person. If you look at the book of Exodus, the reason they didn't go into the promised land wasn't because of Moses. So keep that in mind as we interact with the people that have gone before us. So it was the people's unbelief that held them up from the promises. And we're like that sometimes. We're afraid to hope. We hear what God wants to do in our lives, and we think of all the reasons it won't work. We need to give ourselves permission to hope. I'm going to say that again. We need to give ourselves permission to hope. Anybody ever go on a field trip? Anybody ever need a permission slip? I'm going to tell you a distracting story of my first field trip. All I remember, a horse, his name was Ernie. That horse stood on my foot and no one could move that horse. That was my first field trip. Also the reason parents signed permission slips. I just remember everyone trying to move Ernie off my foot. Ernie was a stubborn horse. Now, in my little kid brain, he might have been a pony, he might have been a miniature horse. I was just super uncomfortable. There was no permanent damage to my foot. Don't worry. But, and I didn't print these out for you. It felt kind of cheesy, but maybe you need to actually take a piece of paper and write, "I give myself permission to hope," and sign your name. Hope is the belief that the future will be better than the present, and I have the power to help make it so. I'm going to say that again. Hope is the belief that the future will be better than the present, and I have the power to help make it so. If things in our lives are going to change, we need to have hope. Hope is the belief that the future will be better than the present, and I have the power to help make it so. There's a familiar passage. It's in Ezekiel chapter 37. You don't have to turn there because we're going to read Genesis 1 in a minute. In Ezekiel 37, God showed Ezekiel a valley of very dry bones. Say, very dry bones. God's not afraid of us seeing how dry things are as long as we don't get our beliefs from the dryness. He isn't worried about us seeing how dry our nation is, how dry the media is, how dry some areas of the church is, as long as we don't get our beliefs and it conclude our future based on what we're seeing. God showed Ezekiel the valley of very dry bones, and in verse 3, he asks Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" This is one of those times where you want to put yourself in the Bible story. You, God, looking over a valley of very dry bones. God asked you, "Can these bones live?" In verse 3, that's what he asks. And Ezekiel, God asks Ezekiel what he thinks about it, because what Ezekiel thinks, what you think about your future, is actually going to determine what God can do. God asked Ezekiel what he thought about the valley of dry bones, because what he thinks is going to determine what God can do. God asks you what you think about your future, because what you think is going to determine what God can do. And the question God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? Do you believe these dry bones have a good future? That's the question, whether it's your personal circumstances or the future of the nation. Do you believe these things have a good future? Remember, hope is the belief that the future will be better than the present, and I have the power to help make it so. So do you believe these things have a good future? Ezekiel gives the safe answer in verse 3. O Lord God, you know. And we're often waiting for God to do something. But in verse 4, God tells Ezekiel to prophesy. He says, you prophesy. You tell those bones they have a good future. You tell them they're going to live. God doesn't tell Ezekiel to step aside and watch him do it. He tells Ezekiel to speak it. He tells him to speak forth the good future on the dry bones. God is looking for people to partner with. God is looking to partner with people that have hope. Now, I know some people might be thinking, this sounds like a lot of positive thinking, but it's not positive thinking. It's biblical optimism. We're looking at what the Bible says, and we're saying it can happen in our present and our future, not based on what we've experienced in the past. Hebrews 10:23, you'll be familiar with this. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. A confession. What's a confession? Is it just thinking something? Or is it saying something? Imagine that I have done something to you, or near you, or around you, that has upset you or hurt your feelings. You decide to be super mature and come to me and tell me I have hurt your feelings. So you tell me you've opened up, you might be crying a little, and just imagine in this situation. Is anybody really mad at me? Because nothing happened. All right. Just imagine in this situation, I just look at you. Just looking at you. You're still a little teary. So you're upset. Deep breath, everyone. You're upset. I'm just looking at you. After a little while, you get a little upset with me again. And I say, hey. I'm sitting here thinking about how sorry I am for what I did. Would that work as an apology? No. You want me to speak it, right? That's a confession. Confession is actually saying One of my sons is really funny. He tells me he has to confess something to me, and that's the confession. I don't have to tell you what it is. I'm just telling you, I have done something, and when you discover it, I'm going to be in trouble. Let us hold fast to the confession. So a confession works by being spoken, and if we're going to confess hope, it has to be spoken. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope, speaking hope, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Why are we speaking forth hope into our future? Because he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. You guys want to say that with me? He who promised is faithful. Say it louder. He who promised is faithful. Hope is the belief that the future will be better than the present, and I have the power to help make it so. All right, Genesis 26, maybe you're still there. Go back there. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, in Gerar. So the verse establishes there's a famine, wide-reaching food shortage. Verse 2, then the Lord appeared to him, that's Isaac, and said, don't go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. So I want you to note, God is telling him where to live. Apparently, there might be food in Egypt, but the Lord comes and says, don't go to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Verse 3, dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For you and your descendants, for to you and your descendants, I will give these lands. I'm just going to pause here. You're all dwelling in a land. The Lord has planted us in this land. Unless the Lord tells you to move to a different land, stay in the land you're at, and expect the Lord to give it to you and your descendants. I like to think about this as a land. Here we are. The Lord has planted us here, and he's going to give it to us and our descendants. All right. And then it says, and I will perform an oath, which I swore to Abraham your father. Verse 4, I will make your descendants multiply as the stars in the heavens. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So God's restating what he wants to do in Isaac's life, and also stating his expectation of him. If you're going to thrive when the world isn't, you need to know what you were created to be. If you aren't sure, do a quick internet search and start with the promises of God. I know, it was funny until I finished the statement. Pick out a few and meditate on them and declare them. So I want you guys to check out what happens to Isaac next. It's interesting, these aren't the actions of a faith-filled giant slayer. They're not the actions of someone God just appeared to and promised things to. They're sort of the opposite of those actions. So verse 6, so Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked about his wife, and he said, she is my sister, for he was afraid to say she is my wife, because he thought, lest the men of the place kill me for Rebekah, because she is beautiful to behold. So Isaac's actions are the opposite. Oh, I gotta tell you a story. I used to work with a guy. And this guy told me you could never trust a pastor or a preacher because their wives were always beautiful. And I looked at him and I was like, so your wife's ugly? And he's like, no, that's not my point. So anyway, all right. Anyway, so Isaac's actions are the opposite of the promise God gave him. God told him to dwell in this land and he would bless him and that his descendants would multiply. In order to have descendants, you need two things. You need to be alive, and you need a wife. So if God promised him descendants, tax write-offs, if God promised him those, you sort of need to be alive, you sort of need to have a wife. It's in God's plan that those two things are going to happen. He also misjudged the people in the situation. We're going to keep reading and find out that his fear was irrational. It wasn't based in reality, just like most of our fear. So in verse 8, now it came to pass that when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked through a window and saw. And there was Isaac showing endearment to his wife, Rebekah. So those are big words, for he was hugging her the way you don't hug your sister. Right. Verse 9. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Quite obviously she is your wife. How could you say she is your sister?" Then Isaac, being honest, said, Because I said, lest I die on account of her. And Abimelech, that's the king, said, "What have you done to us? One of the people might have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us." I love that the Philistines were aware of this. So Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Isaac was safe in the place God told him to dwell. The people there were not going to harm him or his wife. The safest place for you to be is where God tells you to be, whether other people think it's dangerous or not. So here's the reason we're reading this passage: wide-reaching food shortage, promises of God over Isaac's life, irrational fear, God is faithful anyway, and in verse 12, then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. I'm going to read that again. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. So one of our church's core values, we revisited this a couple of weeks ago, is we're a people full of hope. I'm still working on all the verbiage, but what I have so far is we are a people that overflow with hope. Your life should stand out because of God. In a field of flower buds, you should be the one that is in bloom. You should be the one that is in bloom. We aren't a crushed and defeated people. We have God, and he's working it all out for our good. A people full of hope that there could be a famine, a global food shortage, yet like Isaac, we would still be giving. We would still be sowing. We would still be investing. Amen. And that God would bring us a harvest many more times than what we need. We could live in a place or a culture that isn't God-focused. And it might be common for people to do and believe crazy things that destroy children and families. But we and our families are totally protected because we are staying in the place that God has told us. Believing the promises he told us. Now, some of you guys might be thinking, this is a lot of hope speech. I can see how bad things are. I watch the news, the fake news, and I read all the false prophecies of people that have conspiracy theories. As far as current conspiracy theories, while I agree we aren't being told the whole truth about recent events, I know the Holy Spirit will reveal truth that I need to know to me, and reveal truth that you need to know to you. Amen. John 3:16, John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but at whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you the things to come. I will know what I need to know when I need to know it. That's also most of my belief about the book of Revelation. Since we need to tie that up too. Remember, theories aren't fact. Theories like the theory of evolution still need to be backed up by facts in order to be accepted and taught as truth. We still don't have facts on that theory. Do you want to know why there's so much concern right now in the world that Roe versus Wade will be overturned? Because we have a different set of facts than they had when they made it law. We have science has caught up with what the Bible says. We have imaging and ultrasound where we can see a baby. We can even see their face. We can observe a child thinking and feeling separate from the mother. They can measure the brain waves and the thought patterns. We always knew that life begins at conception because that's what the Bible says. Remember, we talked about this before. The Bible isn't just the standard by which we measure what is true. The Bible is actually truth, and everything else has to be measured against the Bible. I gave you guys the old school analogy. When I was a kid and you broke a bone, they threw the x-ray up on the whiteboard. The white thing. Light board. White. Lightboard. Brightboard. Anyway, they don't use those anymore. But that's what it is. Everything that comes out, we throw up on there, and we can see what it really is. All right, something else controversial. You can call me after church if you need to talk about this. Flat Earth.
You're going to get a lot of calls.
Yeah, people are running out the door. People believe that the earth was flat for centuries, and some people still think it today. But in the Bible, in Isaiah 40, verse 21 says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He, that's God, sits enthroned above the circle of the earth."
Where was that?
Isaiah 40, verse 21. I'll tell you, they're just going to say, well, it's a flat circle. But anyway. All right. So we are a people full of hope. We are a people that overflow with hope. Your life should stand out because of God. In a field of flower buds, you should be the one in bloom. We aren't a crushed and defeated people. We have God, and He's working it out for our good. So here's the question I have for each of us, and I'd like you to ask this to yourself today. Are the words that I speak a confession of hope? Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Are the words that I speak a confession of hope? Am I agreeing with God who promised and is faithful? When we see something in our lives not reflecting what God has promised, do we amplify and magnify it with our words? Or do we prophesy a better future for it because we have hope? Remember, we define hope as the belief that the future will be better than the present, and I have the power to make it so. We all like when other people prophesy over us. We all like to prophesy over others. But we also need to prophesy with the Spirit and the Word over our own future. Remember what we said earlier. God showed Ezekiel the dry bones. And after asking him if they could live, told him to prophesy life into them. And they came alive. The dead, dry areas of your life, do you restate and amplify what isn't lining up with the Word of God, or speak forth a better future that lines up with the Word of God? A gentleman by the name of Bill Johnson has said, "Things come into my life because of what comes out of my mouth." Things come into my life because of what comes out of my mouth. Many people think their circumstances are really their problem, but actually their problem is their beliefs about themselves. Romans 12:2, another familiar verse. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. Be transformed by believing and thinking something higher than what you're feeling and experiencing. Be transformed by actually believing the promises of God. Transformation doesn't come from surrendering your heart, it comes from surrendering your beliefs. Many people don't understand that their problem is what they believe and what they think. We think the problem is the devil. We think the problem is our past. We think the problem is the other people in our lives. We think it's the amount of money we have. We think the problem is our parents. We think the problem is, I can't do this because my dog won't behave. We think our problem is our whatever it is, but our problem is not our problem. Believing we are victims at a disadvantage. We're believing we are victims at a disadvantage. And it's interesting, we often talk about repentance. At its root, the definition of repentance is changing. It's changing the way we think. Consider that the problems that you might be experiencing is because you need to change the way you think. So do you guys know when I think most correctly? I'll tell you, since you don't know. When I'm in the presence of God. You know those times during worship? You guys just think I'm like this all the time. Those times during worship where there's all these things coming out and I'm declaring faith over the future, our kids, or all this stuff. It's because I'm hanging out with the presence of God and I'm hearing all that stuff. You know? And that's what we do when we worship. During worship, we often repeat phrases. Today, I repeated phrases more than usual on purpose. Do y'all know I don't count? I don't know if it was 4 times or 8 times or 27 times. You know, you're supposed to refrain on the right spot. By the time we've done it, I don't know where the right spot is anymore. There's nothing I can do. If we had one of those, like, those headphones in our ears telling us when we were supposed to do stuff, the whole band would be doing something different than me in that moment. So, the whole band, Amber, would be doing something different than me in that moment. It was a faith statement. All right. Those moments when the Spirit flows. So ready? Waymaker. So you sing that. You sing it a bunch. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. And about the 18th time, you're like, whoa, yeah, he is. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. We'll do that 10 times. And about the 12th time, somebody's like, whoa, yeah, I get it now. So it's easy to believe in a worship service and harder to believe when I'm looking at a situation and I'm not in a worship service. Yeah, that is who you are. We just keep singing that, you know. And so what are you renewing your mind with? Areas in your life that are challenging, or what God will do in those areas? Are you renewing your mind with how little influence you have? Are you renewing your mind that there's something uniquely wrong with you? Are you renewing your mind that miracles don't happen to you or through you? Are you renewing your mind? How many of you have heard people say, oh, this area is just harder. It's just harder for a move of God or a church to grow. If we were in Lancaster, we'd be a mega church by now. These are things people say to me. Are we renewing our mind with it's hard for God to do what he wants to do in the Franconia area? Are we renewing our mind with, I'm just going to do what God tells me to do and believe he can do it? He didn't bring you this far to fail.
That's right.
So Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This verse is obviously talking about positive things, but whatever you're constantly agreeing with is what you're renewing your mind with. I have a couple of examples of bad mind renewal. I'm not picking on anybody because I heard somebody say it this morning. It's in here. It's in my notes. All right. So a couple examples, common examples of bad mind renewal. Have you ever heard someone say, it's hard for me to remember people's names? That's some bad mind renewal. Best thing to do, and I since we have a stream of visitors, best thing to do is just say, hey, what was your name again? Don't pretend you know. Because then it's going to get awkward way down the road. Brother, tried to call you this week, brother. I have your phone number, but I don't know your name. All right. Sometimes we think thoughts in our mind, and those thoughts even come out of our mouth. Have you ever said anything silly like, I'm stupid. I'm bad at math. I can't afford that. I suck. This stinks. I'm bad. I'm wrong. It's hard for me to make friends. What are you renewing your mind with? The truth is, God has created us as unique individuals. You're not supposed to be like everybody else. There's nothing uniquely wrong with you. We're more aware of the areas we need to work on than anyone else. So don't view yourself as less than because you know where you're weak. Because in your weakness, he is strong. Amen. All right, so this month, I'm doing a spiritual experiment. This is going to prove that I'm unique. All right, this month, I'm doing a spiritual experiment, and I figured I would invite you to join me on my spiritual experiment. You can refuse. This is not mandatory. If you don't do this, please still come by and say hi to us. All right, I'm going to make Bible-based declarations over my life. We're going to end with some of those in a moment. But I've set out on a spiritual experiment this month, and I want to see what happens. So I'm inviting you to do it as well. So I know there's at least one person being like, wait, you want me to read Proverbs, and you want me to make declarations? Yes, I'm asking for 5 minutes of your day. The billion-dollar marketing campaign to change the way you think, or 5 minutes of your day with the Lord. All right. I think next year I'm going to run like a national campaign for Christian families just to unplug in the month of June. Still in the formative stage. If anyone has vision to be part of the team on that. All right. real quick, declarations are not demanding God to move. They're not a chant or a magic formula. They're simply to change the way we think. In fact, they're not even praying. It's making statements with your mouth that will change the way you think about yourself and your future. There's been a misunderstanding. The misunderstanding is if you declare you want a new Corvette, you get a new Corvette.
Oh, okay.
All right. And a chauffeur. I'll drive you around in your new Corvette. That would be my pleasure. I think they'd be lining up to drive you around in your new Corvette. All right, so maybe you need a car. So a good declaration is, my God shall provide all my needs.
All right.
It's not name it, claim it. It's declaring scripture and voicing faith and hope in God. As you're declaring, you're going to want to pay attention to anything that jumps out at you because of the Holy Spirit is going to highlight specific things you should be declaring in your future. I was doing this, you know, just this month, so just a couple of days, and the best one for me, it's totally jumping out, is my prayers for my family are working.
Hallelujah.
So as we declare, I might repeat some of them, but my prayers for my family are working. Yeah. So as things jump out, the goal is that you compile a list of daily declarations to speak over your life and family, that you speak intentional, hope-filled words every morning of your life. So I bought a counter, $4. You can get it on that there internet, or you can get it at a local hardware store. There's something super satisfying about saying, my prayers for my family are working. That little click, and then my dog sits. We didn't click train him. All right? But hey, he actually, the first time I used it, he ran out of his bed and sat, because his bed's now in the office where I do my sermon prep.
It was training time.
Yeah. And then he was like, treat? And I was like, I'm not getting up. Anyway, all right. So we're going to take 5 minutes together. I'm going to pass these out. Now, you guys that are super duper, I'm not going to pass these out. I'm going to ask Keith to pass these out. You guys, I just need you to like continue to listen to me for a minute and not read those. We're going to read those in a second. I printed out this sheet for you to take with you. It's very yellow. You guys like the yellow? Yeah. Cleaned out some stuff at the church and found yellow paper. Get used to it. All right. The first side is a declaration for kids. I started with this because I figured if I'm starting, I might as well start with the easy part, right? The kids' declarations. So they're easy to understand. You might want to do that too. If you have kids, get them doing declarations as well. One of my kids was super upset about something this week, and I'm like, hey, let's do declarations. So I said them, and he said them. This was over the phone while I was delivering mail. It was great. And about 5 minutes later, he's like, yo, I feel way better. I'm like, good. All right. So anyway, some of you might want to get your kids to do them. If you have adult kids, whether they're walking with the Lord or not, you can just add their name in front of each one and declare it over them. It won't change the way they think, but it'll change the way you think about their future.
Yeah.
All right. As you continue to pray for them. The other side of the document is 50 declarations that are for anyone. We're going to go through them all in a moment. If you're listening online, you guys in the room are going to love this. You can go right now to dwellatthewell.com, click the resources tab, and download this document. The declarations over our missionaries are found there as well. We're going to use these for the next 2 weeks. Oh, I see some of you reading them and not listening to me. That's okay. Could have said all of them, but you need them. You need them in a second. Leave your papers upside down on your desk. I know. Well, I say saving the yellow paper, even though I have tons of it. All right. In 2 weeks, I'm going to have a much longer list of declarations. I'm working on it. That's going to have a scripture reference. All right. So that's going to give you, because some of these you're going to go, ha, ha. All right. Anyway, I don't know if that's in the Bible, Matt. All right. Anyway. So I don't want you to say anything that you're not comfortable saying, but I would encourage you, this is to change the way we think, you know, and I can back these up with scripture, and I will give it to you backed up with scripture. I'm going to work through both sides of the sheet. If you sense the Holy Spirit on any statement, it's probably something you need to be declaring more. All right, you guys ready? I got to take this off so I can give a clap quick. All right. These aren't statements demanding things from God. They're true statements based on what the Bible says. We are declaring them not to move heaven, but to change the way we think about our future and release hope for what God can do in our lives. Hope is the belief that the future will be better than the present, and I have the power to help make it so. I'm going to read these. You guys are going to repeat. You ready? My prayers are powerful. God loves to provide for me. I am free from sin and alive in Him. My health gets better every day. God has supernatural protection for me. I am great at relationships. Because God is with me, the people around me experience His love and power. Because of Jesus, I am loved and blessed.
Because of Jesus, I am loved and blessed.
My family is blessed.
My family is blessed.
I recognize and laugh at the devil's lies.
I recognize and laugh at the devil's lies.
My words direct my life.
My words direct my life.
God is on my side.
God is on my side.
I can't be beaten.
I can't be beaten.
I am a leader.
I am a leader.
I have great ideas.
I have great ideas.
God makes me powerful.
God makes me powerful.
When I speak the truth, my faith grows and I become who God made me to be.
When I speak the truth, my faith grows and I become who God made me to be.
I think right thoughts.
I think right thoughts.
I speak words of life and I make good decisions even when it's tough.
I speak words of life and I make good decisions even when it's tough.
God will use me today to release His power and love to the people around me.
God will use me today to release His power and love to the people around me.
Today will be the best day yet.
Today will be the best day yet.
Because I love Jesus, angels are working for me. Bad things are turned away from me because of Jesus' protection.
Bad things are turned away from me because of Jesus' protection.
I am a person of peace and I bring peace to those around me.
I am a person of peace and I bring peace to those around me.
I tell tiredness, sadness, and fear to leave in Jesus' name.
I tell tiredness, sadness, and fear to leave in Jesus' name.
I can't wait to see how God's goodness shows up today. This day is blessed.
This day is blessed.
The truth will make me free.
The truth will make me free.
I do small things in a great way.
I do small things in a great way.
Having done all I know to do, I stand.
Having done all I know to do, I stand.
I am anointed.
I am anointed.
I am called of God.
I am called of God.
My prayers are powerful and effective.
My prayers are powerful and effective.
My soul is prospering. I am going forward in life.
I run at my Goliaths.
If this doesn't work out, something better is coming. I live to plant into the future.
I have healthy long-term relationships.
I encounter God by faith.
I am repenting,
changing the way I think and act to hope.
There is a way.
I love life.
I don't have to be perfect.
I have a great work to do.
God's kindness leads to repentance.
I can adapt well to diverse situations and people.
I do everything in faith.
I apply great faith to everything I do.
Today's events equip me for my future.
I am part of God's plan for revival.
My past does not determine my future.
My gifts will make room for me.
I thrive even if it's not a normal week.
I have grace to make good decisions, not bad ones.
My prayers for my family are working.
My prayers for my family are working.
My prayers for my family are working.
Hallelujah.
My prayers for my family are working.
My prayers for my family are working.
I am free from fear.
I am free from fear.
When I receive impartation, I am radically impacted.
When I receive impartation, I am radically impacted.
I am full of gratitude.
I am full of gratitude.
My mind is being renewed by the Word of God.
My mind is being renewed by the Word of God.
I cannot fail.
I cannot fail.
I see failures as growth opportunities, and I am set up for future success.
I see failures as growth opportunities, and I'm set up for future success.
I do more than expected.
I do more than expected.
I rejoice when others are blessed.
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 I take the high road.
I take the high road.
I lay down my life for others.
I lay down my life for others.
I put things in my path that contribute to my personal growth.
I put things in my path that contribute to my personal growth.
I'm not afraid of missing out.
I am 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 not afraid of missing out. Problems are opportunities.
Problems are opportunities.
I welcome resistance.
I welcome resistance.
I enthusiastically serve leaders.
I enthusiastically serve leaders.
I am ignited by a burning vision.
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 Light is more powerful than darkness.
Light is more powerful than darkness.
I will stay hungry for God.
I will stay hungry for God.
I am first a worshiper.
I am first a worshiper.
I restrict my behavior because I love others.
I restrict my behavior because I love others.
It's working.
It's working.
So Father, we thank you that our mind is being renewed to think about ourselves and our futures like you do. Help us to be a people of faith and hope that sees the possibility of what you want to do and does not limit ourselves by our current circumstances. As I close, I just want to remind you guys, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. All right, have a great week.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking a well, I'm taking a well right here. I'm taking a well in the valley of my weeping. I'm taking